Jesus said, "The Father has set his seal on me," what Jesus was saying is, "I'm the only answer given, and this is a matter of life and death for you." And that's the big issue in the Gospel of John, and that's the big issue for Christianity today. You're either going to write off Jesus as a narcissistic madman, as people do, or a great teacher, or you're going to recognize, as Thomas did, "My Lord and my God has come to us."
Very polemic, to say the least. You're either for him or against him. There's no fence sitting when it comes to Jesus. And more often than not, it drives people away rather than attracts them, which is a conundrum because we're told that there's a number no man can count in heaven, and it is God's chief desire to save. We're looking at all of this through the eyes of John, chapter 6, verses 41 through 58. Jesus shrinks the church. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with Abounding Grace.
Well, this morning we have the privilege of coming to the table of our Lord and communing together. What a wonderful opportunity after all these months of not being able to do such a thing, this blessed privilege that we have. Still in the midst of all this confusion, to hear God's word and to partake of the sacrament. What a blessing that the Lord has given us. I wonder, though, how comfortable we would be if Jesus were here right now standing and administering the sacrament, how comfortable we would be with him. I wonder what he might say, and I wonder how he might press us and make us all very, very challenged and uncomfortable with the way that he presses us in probing things. The reason that I say that is because here in this particular passage, Jesus, if you'll notice by the end, has so offended people, he drives away thousands of people. I titled the sermon, "How to Shrink the Church." I thought, this is another title would have been Jesus's Church Shrinkage Seminar. How to drive people away. This is the kind of stuff we would never have in the manuals on church growth, would we? He offends everyone in this passage. And it actually is that word. How many times have you thought, Pastor Gordon's, he's offending people, or he's saying things that might offend the people that come in here who've never heard, and we get very nervous, and we're kind of nervous about inviting our friends because maybe Pastor Gordon will offend. I assure you, Jesus would offend them. Because in this particular passage, Jesus really does get to the heart of matters. In fact, if you look down at verse 60, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? We can't even listen to this guy." But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense of this? Then what if?" And then he turns it up quite a bit more. I said, well, I wonder how people could listen if they could to Jesus today. But Jesus has a specific goal in John chapter 6, and Jesus is getting to the heart of matters in life. He wouldn't let people play games with him. He wouldn't let people play fast and loose with him. He was not about having people follow him that were just dross and playing games. He's going to make them and drive them to the point of accepting his great claims or walking away from him. That's why the ministry would be uncomfortable for us today, because ministries that are user-friendly never do that. They never press us to the issues of life. They never bear down and say, "Listen, this is the matter of life and death, and what you do with this matters." And that's essentially John chapter 6. Jesus didn't come to pet the sheep. He didn't come to give only consoling words all the time. He would push people to the issues. And I'm so thankful for that. I think it's the most loving thing he could do. He was so committed to the mission. He was so driven to go and die, to give his life. And he wanted people to understand what this was about. And as we looked at last week, the Father has set his seal on him. This is the only answer from God we're ever going to get. So that's why he's pressing. And that's what we need today. I'm so thankful he didn't fear man. I'm so thankful that he spoke unwaveringly the truth of the gospel in the face of great opposition. He didn't side with the prevailing narratives of the day. He didn't fall into everything the world was doing. He was driven by the work the Father gave him to do to save and to communicate the message that would pull people out of hell. came to fight for your salvation and your children's. You understand that? That's what he came to do. And he is so pressing this here on this claim of who he is today, that they would understand the true bread that has come down from God to give life to the world. And that's the most important issue in front of us here in John chapter 6. If you remember the scene, and you've been here for the past few weeks as we've been working through the Gospel of John, everyone has missed what the sign of the feeding was all about, what it symbolized, what it signified, and what he was teaching them about the need for true food in life, true life. They loved being fed. They were just like Jonah. They loved to receive all the comforts that he could give. They wanted a great prophet like Moses who could feed them in the wilderness. But they didn't like hearing what it meant. They didn't like being pressed now to what these things signify. What did all of this blessing in life that we have enjoyed from God, what is all of it telling us? And that's when the barriers went up. They have raised that Moses fed them in the wilderness. And Jesus had already corrected them on that. No, Moses did not feed you in the wilderness. God fed you in the wilderness. And he did something to really set them off last time when he said, I am the bread that has come down from heaven. He's been making these claims the whole time that are absolutely shocking. And you can feel the rage as he's saying these things. Number verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. What a claim. Coming to Christ equates with being filled, and you'll notice here, believing equates with being satisfied. I am the bread, first great I am statement, God gave Israel. It's what it all meant. It's what it all was about. It was about me. I'm here now. I've actually gotten down and come down to you. Now, they were already angry in chapter 5 that he had claimed equality with God. Can you imagine hearing some of these statements that he made? That I see the works that my Father does. And not only do I see them, I do the works that my Father does. He is making statements that are absolutely shocking. But now he has just claimed to be the bread that has come down from heaven. And now we begin with their complaint. Verse 41, so the Jews grumbled about him. Because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, we know this guy. This guy, we know his parents. We know what block he grew up on. How in the world could he come along and say, we know Joseph. We know his mom. Who is this guy saying, I've come down from heaven? Now, that's an interesting moment because I don't think I would have said anything different. Would you? If you had heard that? If I had said today, Pastor Gordon has come down from heaven, what do you think you'd say about me? Wouldn't go well, would it? So this is a really shocking claim he has just made. To really sense the sense of it, you know he's claimed equality with God, and this comes their complaint. And now we have an interesting statement. We see how John has been raiding Exodus, the book of Exodus, in John chapter 6 and 7. In John chapter 6, you'll remember, he does, in verse 4, he mentions the Passover, and then Jesus feeds, and John has raided Exodus 12 and 13 and said, that Passover is Jesus. He is our Passover. And then they had in Exodus 14 and 15, the crossing of the Red Sea event. And in John 6, beginning of verse 16, Jesus treads on the water and crosses his disciples over to the sea, to the other side, telling them he is the I am, and everyone recognizes it. And then we have Exodus 16, the bread event, where Jesus is now explaining the true bread from heaven. And now we come to this besetting sin of Israel in the wilderness. What was it? Grumbling. They grumbled against the Lord. And by the way, you just follow it even more. Some are going to turn around in this section and walk away. Yeah, Israel had a long history of wanting to go back to Egypt. Chapter 7, You have the law, chapter 18 and 19 of Exodus, 19 and 20, the law, and Jesus gives the grand indictment, you haven't kept any of it. Chapter 17, you got the water event at the rock, striking the water. Jesus says, come to me and drink. You see what John's doing here? He's using all of it. So here we are in this particular section, and this is exactly what they do now. John grabs the issue of complaining, and now they are complaining about him. Because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Is this not Jesus? You remember in Exodus 16:2, in the midst of the bread event, and the whole congregation of the people grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And remember what happened, and it goes on in 7 and 8. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, and you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, it's against the Lord. Who's the Lord? Jesus. Here he is. And they grumble against him. Same in the Septuagint. Fast forward, here Jesus has come down from heaven. God incarnate is standing in front of them. What is the complaint? What is the complaint? Who does this guy think he is? When he said he's come down from heaven, see, this is the big issue that the Gospel of John is constantly challenging us with. This is the remarkable claim of Christianity, that the eternal Son of God, equal with the Father, power, majesty, glory, the eternal Son of God has come down and taken to himself a human nature and come among us. And as John said in chapter 1, we beheld that glory. We know that glory. The glory of the one who tabernacled among us. He's reading Exodus again. And when Jesus said, the Father has set his seal on me, what Jesus was saying is, I'm the only answer given. And this is a matter of life and death for you. And that's the big issue in the Gospel of John. And that's the big issue for Christianity today. You're either going to write off Jesus as a narcissistic madman, as people do, or a great teacher. Or you're going to recognize, as Thomas did, my Lord and my God has come to us. This is why Lewis would say, liar, lunatic, or Lord. There's your choice. So here we are. This is exactly what's happened here. And to make it to heaven, you'll notice here, the only way to make it to heaven, the only way to be saved, is to receive the one that's come down from heaven. The only way salvation comes to us is God coming to us in human flesh, human nature, taking on one. But I was reflecting on this week. I thought, do you see the absolute impossibility of faith here? It's absolutely impossible, humanly speaking. I mean, if Jesus were taken seriously and people really believed that they have to reckon not just with some mere man, not just some great teacher, but that the one who has come to us is the one through whom everything was made, is the eternal Son of God, equal with the Father, don't you think there would be great fear of him? Don't you think people would fall and say, my Lord and my God? With fear and trembling. And this is our great challenge here. I would have been standing there with him. You don't just accept claims like this. And here's the thing. If they didn't accept him standing there and actually watching the signs that he did and actually raising the dead, we're in quite a predicament here, not even being able to see, aren't we? We also casually treat Jesus, don't we? We walk away from his worship and we do the same thing. We complain. Because he doesn't do for us what we think he should do for us. He doesn't fix things the way that we think he should fix things. This is what Dr. Godfrey said last Sunday night. He doesn't work fast enough for us on our terms. We are these people. We are these people. Never read about the Jews and say they're just those kind of people. This is us. This is a giant mirror that is put in front of us. And that's why I emphasize the impossibility of faith to have the bread of God come down from heaven, standing there in front of you, looking at him, seeing the signs, and not believing. And what is Jesus' clarification in the midst of this? This is where it gets really fascinating. Jesus answers them, doesn't he, when he knows this, and he sees this, and he hears this. And he begins to say a few very important things here that help us to understand the heart of this passage this morning. When he first says, stop your grumbling, and that's exactly the translation, stop it. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. So a rough translation of that is, stop it. You have no ability to come unless the Father drags you to me. That's the word there, drags. Fascinating, isn't it? You have no ability to come to me unless you are dragged by the Father to the Son. Now, I'm really thankful for this. I never really just accepted God, as we commonly hear, and as people say. But I'm also thankful because if I am a joyful, happy person secured in the knowledge of the Son, the Father has done something wonderful for me. The Father has drawn me and dragged me to the Son, changing my heart, sure. But what Jesus is doing here for us is showing us this struggle through the lens of everything that we've studied in the struggle of Israel. How impossible salvation is apart from an entire work of divine grace in your life. Salvation, that impossible. And that's why in the church today, you might as well just step it up with everything you need to step it up with. Because if you lower the bar and you lower the message and people don't get it, how you think about the importance of Jesus giving it in full to them, realizing they won't get it. Nobody's going to get it apart from divine grace. So Jesus then does something powerful here. I think this is the heart of this, actually. It's the thing in John 6 you read right over and don't spend the time on. But it's Jesus' quotation of Scripture here I couldn't get away from this week. They had thrown Scripture at him and got it all wrong. That Moses didn't give the bread. Jesus corrected them. Now Jesus throws one back at them. Isaiah 54. You'll notice here it says, as it is written, they shall all be taught by God. whenever the rule is, you have a statement like that that sits in somewhat isolation and is thrown in the midst of something, you're never going to understand it until you go back to where it comes from and look at what surrounds it. That's what the author is telling you to do. And Jesus was doing that. And this is exactly what it says in Isaiah 54. Listen carefully. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you, my steadfast love shall not depart from you. And my covenant of peace shall not be removed. All your children, here it is, shall be taught by the Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children. Now that's an amazing statement. The Father will teach you, and the result will be, what? Peace. Peace with regard to who Jesus is. This is what he's saying. You can look at the whole problem of humanity and the human heart right here in this little section. You see, what the Lord is doing right now is, and this is what I think even in the world right now, if you look at what he's exposing, as he's taken away all the comforts and everything seems to be falling apart and everything seems to be in dire straits, everything seems to be going wrong, as the Lord has broken this all open, what is he exposing right now? Where hearts are. The world has no peace, first off. I mean, how can anyone not see that right now? You know, you can run around saying no justice, no peace, all you want, but you'll never get that until you have Jesus. Well, really, the sermon title should have been No Jesus, No Peace. Everyone's frustrated. Everyone's angry. Everyone's divided up. No forgiveness, no atonement, no ability to talk to anyone. We are ripped apart right now in the worst sort of ways. What about the church? We're anxious. We're worried. We're distressed over the state of things. Worry. Where's peace? Do you see in the midst of this what Jesus is doing? It's me. It's me. I am peace. I am the bread. I am what satisfies. This is the first of the I ams. I am everything to you. Drink me. Eat me. This is all the life you'll ever get. This is the only peace you'll ever know. You see, Jesus is confronting them saying, the result of the Father's work is to bring peace in your lives as he teaches you regarding me.
Well, some hard teachings to be sure, but life-giving nonetheless. Here today as we explore once again John chapter 6, a message called Jesus Shrinks the Church. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Pastor Chris will be back here in just a moment to close out our program with a look ahead to tomorrow's broadcast. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start, agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. You'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small. No gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. As promised, once again now, to close out the broadcast with a look ahead tomorrow, here's Pastor Chris.
Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. What did you just say? You better eat me. You better drink me. He didn't just say that. Yeah, he did. You must feed on me, my flesh and my blood to live. This is an amazing moment in the Gospel of John. He just called them to faith in the most powerful way in the Scriptures. You have to be absolutely joined to me. You have to participate in my life. If you don't participate in my life, you have no life. You need to eat me. You need to drink me. Aren't you seeing what belief is? We have digested into the soul the very body and blood of Christ.
Oh, they are hard sayings, to be sure, but sayings that have a great impact in our lives if we will but listen to what Jesus is really telling us. And that is the subject of our time as we work our way through John chapter 6, one of these hard chapters in God's Word, but one that provides amazing truth, grace, and mercy if we will but listen again to what Jesus is saying. Well, we trust you'll join us tomorrow as our studies in John will continue. Again, the message is called Jesus Shrinks the Church with the Desire to Grow Us, You and I, Spiritually. That's tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.